So you want to know something weird?
Sure.
I think this is the first time I've ever ridden in your dad's car.
You know, that's funny because often I drive it. It's not my ideal.
You do drive it really.
Does it have seat warmers? It's not a nice car. I mean, it works great.
This is a great car.
It's great. I said seat warmers, and I think when I hear seat warmers, I automatically think of like a BMW for some reason.
It has leather seats.
It's an 04 Camry, you know?
Dude, an 04 Camry. If you need a nicer car than that, we got...
Don't. This is great.
We got problems.
It's great. I miss my truck.
Here's the thing. So Thomas...
An 01 Tacoma.
Thomas drives an 01 Toyota Tacoma, white pickup truck. It's got a Power T front license plate on the front of it.
I got that for my dad when I was in middle school.
By the way, whenever my son Jack sees a white truck anywhere, doesn't matter the make, model, anything, if it looks anything like your truck or not, he's like, oh, there's four.
I pulled up to your house the other night. Jack was in the front yard. I don't remember what he was doing. And I was in this car, and I just laid on the horn. And the dude, like, retreated into the house. And I threw the door open, and I was like, dude. And he was like, what? And I was like, you didn't recognize me, did you? He was like, you're not in your truck. And I was like, yeah, that's true. I guess I'm not.
Anytime. I'm telling you, if he sees, like a dually.
He was like retreat.
Like a white freaking
diesel
dually.
Blowing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, with like a camper on the top of it. He's going to be like, oh, there's four. I'm like, no, dude, that's just a white truck. But to be fair, there are a lot of white Tacomas. But you're borrowing your dad's car right now.
Yeah, just when I go to Cookeville, I don't often take my truck because it's very old. It has 300,000 miles on it.
Thomas's
and I'm like,
fiance,
it could explode at any point.
Thomas's fiance lives in Cookeville. So
it's sad. That's too far away.
When he goes to see his lady, then he drives his dad's car. Here's one thing that means for people that don't know Thomas extremely well, or as well as some of us do. One thing that Thomas's dad driving his truck means is that Thomas's dad has Thomas's baseball glove.
Yeah, my glove is always, it's always in my truck. People say there's two things American in this world. Number one, Kraft American singles.
Jet skis.
Number two, baseball.
Dude, do you ever get Kraft American singles on your Chick-fil-A sandwich?
If I get any, well, I don't eat the fried chickens at Chick-fil-A.
Anymore.
If I get anything
anymore,
no, I do. I'll do pepper jack.
Okay, pepper jack.
Yeah, like I love grilled cheeses. Here's the thing. I want a little more than American cheese. I want Colby, Pepper Jack, Monterey Jack.
If you're at the soup kitchen and
Gouda.
You get a grilled cheese made with a Kraft American single, that's really
okay,
strong.
Okay, yeah. Just forget everything I said. That's the best grilled cheese in the world.
No question.
That's really bold, and I try to refrain from objectively stating my opinions correct, but I do think... In my opinion, it's my favorite. Because Nina Reed used to bring me one to club when she was in high school. I was like this 22-year-old young life leader, and Nina just knew, I'll bring a grilled cheese to Thomas.
Let me tell you another thing about Thomas. You don't know if you don't know. If you're eating food and he hasn't eaten in a while, he's going to pester you until you give him some of that. He's going to be like, what are we working with here?
Yes. That's the exact words. What you working with?
No, you'll include yourself into the team.
Oh, what are we working with?
Like, this person X is eating some food that they paid for, and you sit down next to him, you're like, what are we working with here?
One of mine and Maddie's inside things, it's not even, like, ours. It's not even an inside thing. I think it just annoys her. But I'll always offer her a bite of my food.
Okay.
So, you want to bite? Yeah. I'll just cash it in.
Pay it forward?
Yeah.
I feel like saying pay it forward right there was a D-Rod kind of thing.
That's
not what pay it forward means.
No, you pay the piper. Every time, one time I went backpacking in Colorado with Devin Accardi and a bunch of high schoolers. And every time we'd go down the hill, like, you know, we're in the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
He would just say,
you're going to go back up.
Enjoy it, boys. We got to pay the piper. Because we should be like 4 miles into
such a diva
12,000-foot mountain, just like quads are burning. Then you go down a hill, and it's like, oh.
Have you ever told on the podcast the story of why your dad is called Lean Coast?
I don't know if I know this story. Do I?
Thomas's dad is named Lynn Cox.
Oh,
Thomas
I do remember
Cox's
that.
Thomas's dad, Lynn Cox. But
he had a good friend in college who was
from Africa.
Yeah, and he couldn't say Lynn Cox. He called him Lynn Cox.
Lynn Cox.
So I'll just call my dad Lean.
Lean. Lean. So as a result, I don't think I've called your dad Lynn Cox in like years. So whenever I see this black Camry, I'm like, Lean Cox.
Yeah, you asked me the other day, why are you driving the Lean Mobile?
The Lean Mobile, man.
Lean Cox Mobile.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. And we haven't had a mobile episode in a while.
Yeah, they used to be pretty regular when we worked together.
Oh, gosh, now
that hurt.
Sad.
What is that? I'm gonna start crying.
Man, I was having such a good time.
Well, let's just start over.
Should we press on?
Okay.
This is a mobile episode. We're coming down. We're coming down into Solway right now.
Yeah.
From Pellissippi Parkway, and we're both going to talk about the same scripture. This is from the book of Ephesians, which is a letter that Paul wrote, and one of the things that's really cool about the letters of Paul is that every now and then, when he's in the middle of writing or dictating a letter that somebody else is writing down, he would just start praying for people. And he would pray for them right there in the letter, which I don't know if you've ever done that. Like, have you ever done that where you're writing a letter to someone that you know loves Jesus to encourage them, and you actually, like, instead of saying, I'm praying for you, have you ever written out your prayer in a letter for them?
I've never done that in a letter. I have gotten, and I stole this from your wife. Yeah. And I'm not great at it yet. It still feels awkward, and I wish it wasn't. But sometimes I'll have the courage of, like, you know, someone's in the middle of telling me something hard, and it's usually a close friend. Like, this isn't a thing I'm gonna, like, pull out to, like, a high school or a college guy I'm ministering to necessarily.
It's somebody that you know is in kind of a similar place to you in your love for the Lord.
Right, and they'll talk about something hard, or they'll say, be praying for this, or they'll talk about something hard in their life, and I'll say, let's just do it right now. And that's something I stole from your wife. And it sounds braggy. I think I've probably done it six times, maybe, ever. in like 6 years, I don't know.
The statement I'm about to make includes a lot of things, but this is one of my favorite things about Christy, about my wife, which that's an extensive list.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite things about Christy that, like, if you talk to her about something that you're having a hard time with, she will actually pray for you physically right then and there. Mm. She won't say, like, I'll be praying about that. She'll say, let's pray for that right now. One of the only other people that I've met that does that as a knee-jerk reaction is our friend Jed Brewer.
Mm.
Jed is the exact same way. If you're talking to him on the phone or if you're with him in person and he's asking how things are going, you share a hard thing, he'll say, man, let's just talk to the Lord about that right now. He'll put his arm around you, or if you're on the phone, he'll just start praying about it. And it's really cool. It's like, in some ways, when you're reading Paul's letters, you feel like, man, I think it might just be a personality trait of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that comes out in some of the people that he lives in. It comes out in Christy. It comes out in Jed. It's starting to come out in you. And it's coming out in Paul. You're reading through his letters, and all of a sudden, he just like bursts into a prayer. Mm-hmm. So this is a prayer in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. And if you've ever been to Triple C, to Christ Community Church, then you have heard Tom pray this from memory. This is one of the many, many passages of scripture he has memorized. But Paul says this: for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Dang. classic.
That's a good prayer.
Yeah, sorry, I just yawned again for the 50th time. Wow. Sometimes I'll do something into the mic and I'm like, wait, the mic's there, and I'll pull it away slowly.
It's like one of the greatest passages of scripture ever. You're just steady yawning over there. Just Jay yawning.
Okay. I had two things stand out instantly.
Already. I'm ready.
I'm ready. First thing, verse 16, he says, he talks about the glorious riches, the Lord's glorious riches.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a time where you just, and this could rub some people wrong, but I think we've all had this, and in whatever season you're in right now, I think it's important to remember things like this, but I think there are times when the Lord just does things for you that just feel extra. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you just realize, oof.
Like, you're so nice to me.
Right. Whenever I get to a moment where I can, when I say to the Lord, you're so kind to me, when I feel that way, I feel like I'm in a good place.
Like, you asked for something and like that happened, but it happened deeper or more sweet than you were ready for. Or like, it just happened in a way that was so rich.
Right. I have, there's been a few instances in my life in the past year where that's felt that way. And I can't do anything except for say that you have so much to give for me and I don't even understand it. You know, like, it's funny, like, I didn't think of money, which, like,
yeah.
I don't think there's money in heaven. I think the Lord is wealthier than all of us.
Hope there's
right.
Let's hope we're done with money.
I think the Lord somehow is obviously wealthier than all of us put together. You know, it's whatever.
John Hartman always says the Lord is flush, which is like an old school phrase for somebody being loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like whenever, like, if we don't have money, he's like, let's just ask the Lord. Right. The Lord is flush.
Which, like, if that is what he's talking about, if I mean, I love that. I love that mindset. I think the Lord can do whatever he wants with whatever money. Absolutely. Ever, because it's all his. He can do whatever he wants with it. And I like, the more I believe that, the better off my life is usually.
He makes the sun, like, stand still in the sky. So
he can do whatever he wants with whatever penny he wants. And awesome. But I've had a couple of moments this year where I have felt the only way I can describe it is he has so much to give me. And like one of them was just my friendship with my friend Devin, who when I take a step back and I look at it, I just think to myself, that was the kindest thing. You know, we moved in together not knowing each other after I lived with my best friends for 3 years.
Right.
And it was like the most unexpected. Like
And you were a little nervous about it.
You're like, I don't know this guy. And then night two, we were best friends. And
yeah,
you know, and then I watched our friendship and we decided. And the other thing was Maddie, just like,
yeah.
And the interlocking rhythm of my life with Devin and how that came together. Like, when we decided we were going to pray for wives, and he just got engaged, and it was both to the girl we dated right after we decided we were going to pray for each other.
God,
and
that was
it
so crazy.
It was just so sweet. Like, our friendship is amazing. And he moved away in May or in June. And in January we decided we're going to pray for each other. By the end of May, we both had girlfriends and we moved away. And it was like a nice little handoff that the Lord did. Like,
yeah.
You lived with someone who
you guys walked through each other. Through this.
Yes. And then,
and now you have Reggie and Maddie,
and they both just felt like the Lord opened a fire hose. You know, it was just like, hey, stand there for a minute. You have a little bit of dirt on your face. And then he used a fire hose to clean it off. Like, it was like a little extra. And I felt that way about Maddie. Cause I prayed for a wife since I was like 13, as extra as that is, you know, I'm just like, I want this, whatever.
You've always been a romantic.
I've always been romantic, and a lot of it's been from
the
wrong.
I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of it's probably been for the wrong reasons. And then you have this thing happen where when we realized we were going to get married, I was like, man, I would have waited 20 more years if I knew it was going to be to you. And
oh, that's good. It. That's a good line, dude. That's a good.
That was not on purpose. It was, but it wasn't like saved up.
That's a good one, though.
And because it felt so rich. It just felt like a, wow, this wasn't, I prayed specifically for a girl, and this was 30,000 times more than that. And the other thing that really jumped out to me, what was the thing?
Rooted.
You read it.
Yeah.
Oh, Rooted. Yeah.
Well, then he...
Read it again.
Okay, so he says this thing, which like... And I think the point that you were driving at when we were talking about this was that, like, I wouldn't have said this about myself, and it's not something that he's praying that would happen. Like, there are some things in this prayer that he's praying would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this one thing he assumes. He just assumes that it is the case.
Yeah,
he
read
basically
it.
Definitively says it is the case. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp, you know, how wide, long, and high, and deep.
You being rooted, it's
you
objective.
Are rooted.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the point of the prayer is, let's zoom out for just a second and then come back to your point. The point of the prayer is, my hope for you, my prayer for you is, like, Jesus loves you. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer for you is that you would feel it. Because sometimes you don't feel it.
Right.
Sometimes you don't feel how much the Lord loves you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my prayer for you, that you would feel it. You would feel how deep and wide and long and high is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I pray that you would feel it.
Right.
But like, in the midst of praying for this thing to happen, he says, by the way, here's something you need to know. This is already true. You are rooted and established in love, right? That's the thing that was getting you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's, well, yes, because it's not something I would say about myself. It's true and scripturally true. And I could describe it and explain it to someone, and I would say it to someone else, but I wouldn't ever think that about myself. It's almost like Paul's like speaking it into existence within me, which is
not really your denomination.
No, it's not. Not at all.
You're not like a name it and claim it kind of guy.
No, I'm not the, what's that guy? Ball. What's his name? Who spoke his son and is playing for the Lakers. I'm not that
Lonzo?
Guy.
Lonzo?
Well, that's the guy. His dad lives like
Lamar
like,
Ball.
Yeah, he's going to get drafted by the Lakers. You watch. And he did. And I'm like,
totally,
how did you do this? But like, there's something about when you say something to someone and you build them up and they kind of live it. Like, I kind of want to strut around thinking about that now.
Yeah.
That I've read that about. And from the lens of, I get that I wasn't an Ephesian. You know, like, I'm still not an Ephesian.
No.
2,000 years ago, I did
not.
One
of your best friends has been to Ephesus.
Yeah. Yes. But I never have, nor did I live there, nor was I standing in the town square when the leader of the church read this aloud or whatever, however that worked. But it is cool to read that today and think like, this is me. This is true about me. And because it's not a way that I would speak of myself, because I'm generally not super kind to myself, but it was sweet to read that.
Yeah, there's a thing that happens at the end of this prayer that, like, is so interesting. By the way, I just looked up on your mantle, and there's a picture of you and your nephew, Duke.
He's doing the Nina.
And
he's not looking at the camera.
He's not looking,
he's looking away. He thinks he is.
Is he as blind as Nina?
No, that brother can see a little bit.
Here's what I'm saying. Thomas, you are wearing your Marty McFly vest, a.k.a. your Halloween costume.
Always.
Thomas has one Halloween costume. He wears it every year.
This is trunk or treat. So that's why Duke is wearing a fireman costume.
So it literally is your Halloween costume.
Well, I was coming from work. It just so happened that I happened to be.
It just so happens that on October 31st, you wear the exact same thing every year.
Yes.
At the end of this prayer, Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Okay. A couple things about this.
I love that you just pointed out that we're in my house now, by the way.
Yeah. We were driving. Our recorder ran out of batteries, and now we're in Thomas's house. Now we're in the nest. R.I.P. Devin Rodriguez. Like, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more? Like,
what does that mean?
Means he can do so much more than you could ask or imagine that you couldn't measure it. Like, it's not measurable. Like,
I know, but that's like trying to wrap your head around something that doesn't exist.
This is what I'm saying. Here's the thing about this, and this is where I'm driving with this. I can imagine a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I can imagine
Like, and you're a songwriter. You've got a good imagination.
Like, I can, when I think about like what I want with my life and what I want from God and what I want, like, you know, just like fullness and pleasure and purpose and adventure and all those things. Like, I can imagine a lot.
Right.
So to say like, well, he can do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine.
Right.
I'm like, dude, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, open up the taps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I can, I would ask you for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of lost people in my life that I want to know you.
I can't believe you started there. Well, that's like, where you started. That's, you're a really good person.
But like,
I feel that way. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong. That's not me being a jerk who's like, screw that. No, I'm like, I feel that way. I've got a list of 10 things about myself for that, which is,
I want some
embarrassing
stuff too,
to,
but like, you know, but it's like, loud. But you know, I mean, I have some people in my life who are having a hard time. I want that
right.
fixed. You know, I have some people who are just who have been in a difficult season for just a friggin' long time.
Yeah.
Let's clear that up. You know, like, I can imagine a future for them that's so beautiful. And we were talking about this in a group of guys that hangs out together recently, but there's this verse in Isaiah chapter 51 that where he says that that the people that belong to the Lord are going to enter the city gates with crowned with singing, and that sorrow is going to flee away.
Mm.
And like, I'm like, man, that's what I want. And I can imagine a lot of it. I can imagine a lot of goodness and a lot of fullness and a lot of pleasure. So
right.
like, let's go. And if he can do immeasurably more, that's exciting. There's
yeah.
just something that's, there's a big draw in that for me. And like, it just, I'm attracted to the idea of this thing. It's filling me up. And there's another thing in this prayer.
Also, before you slide on, he caps it off by saying, "Then all we ask or imagine." So he's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine.
Right.
That's helpful for me when I don't get my prayers answered. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And it may be that my prayer, the answer, it's just a flat out no. Like, hey, this isn't the thing. We're going another route, man. We're not thinking about that. Or it could be, I've got something dramatically bigger than this, and you just don't have the brain to think of it. So, you know, which is, that's helpful for me, honestly. That's pretty freeing because yeah. I ask for a lot of things. I ask for a lot of things, including people's souls. So, so people who are yes. like, gosh, that guy's a jerk. He doesn't pray for people. Like, no, I do. I promise I do.
There's this moment where he says, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love statements like that in scripture. They're so, it feels like they close all the loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this moment where Jesus says, give, and this is in Luke chapter 6. He says, give and it will be given to you. And I love this. This verse is dear to me because it's something that Potsy, our friend Potsy, quotes and mm-hmm. when he's praying a lot. He says, give and it will be given to you. This is what Jesus said. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Hmm.
Like, it's just one of those Jesus statements that's so beautiful. Like, you know, we don't measure things in the marketplace in the way that they used to.
Right.
But like the idea that when you're measuring something out, you want the vendor that you're buying from to like, okay, if you're measuring that out, like that's a cup full of, you know, whatever, blueberries. Like shake it together. Like, I don't want any gaps in there. Like,
yeah.
I want to make sure that it's an actual cup. And he's mm-hmm. like, and he says, a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. And that's what I was thinking about when Paul says, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's like, I want to be filled up like that. I want to be filled up. Like, I want you to close all the loopholes, to fill us up with everything good that you have for us. This is such a cool prayer. It's mm-hmm. a prayer that like, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but like, just like when you're going through Paul's letters, take one of his prayers and pray it over your own life.
A lot. Cause a lot of times I don't have the words.
Yeah.
For what I
just
need.
Like this, change all
he
the
already
pronouns.
Wrote it. I'm just going to use the thing.
Yeah. Yes. Just steal it. Like just change all the pronouns to me, mm-hmm. you know? And like, I think that's a really, really sweet thing to do. And like, yeah, that's a cool thing to do with this prayer. And especially in times when you feel a little dry or you feel a little frustrated or you feel like you're just not connecting with the Lord.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Great.
I like when you do an accent change. Today's podcast has been brought to you by The Soup Kitchen and Nina Reed.
I forgot that we spoke about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, today's podcast has been brought to you by Lean Coast. Like, literally, we were in...
sponsored it.
Lean's car.
Yeah. I miss my truck.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's
also,
a good dude.
It's cool when you're hanging out with Thomas when he does have his truck. And, like, if you just have a few minutes after you've had lunch with him or something, because if you have your ball glove as well, then you can stand out in the parking lot and just throw a baseball with him.
Yeah. It's cool. My boss played baseball for UT and the Los Angeles Dodgers organization.
Wow.
And his son was at work the other day, who's like a little baseball player. His name's Gehrig. Oh. I think he's named after Lou Gehrig. It's super cool.
Wow.
So I keep it handy because I'm like, gee, let's go through.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
What's funny
is... we haven't thrown yet, though.
You and I used to do that. We would throw a little bit, like, after we'd have lunch or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I never played baseball, but I was like, this is so much fun. There's just such really cool kinetic things about that. And then one day I saw you and Sydney Davis throwing a baseball together, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like barely throwing it. Like, you and Sydney were throwing it so hard to each other.
It's funny, as soon as a glove gets on my hand, my feet, my body, they all start doing things I haven't done in forever. I'll spit away. You know, like, it's like, the other day Maddie said, are you really good at that because you played baseball? And I was like, I guess so. I've never thought of that because I just did it. It's just like I never dipped.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though, with you and Sid?
Yeah.
Like, you guys throw a ball so hard.
Yeah.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by Sid Davis.
Yeah. Singapore.
Serving Jesus in Singapore.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I think we'll go out on a Jed Brewer song today.
We should. He's also a part of the sponsorship.
Yeah, Jed brought us this podcast.
You too can sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, just do some random thing that we mentioned.
Someone who's ever listened to this is like, I have to give money to this thing? Crap.
No, you just have to like have an
encounter.
Do you
think we ever get new
us.
Listeners? I think secretly there's about 4 people who listen to this.
Oh man, that hurts.
That's okay. It's great with me. I'll do it as long as one person's listening.
That's fine. We don't actually listen to the show.
No.
Thanks for listening, guys. I'm Lee.
Thomas.
Agent Newt. You snorted.